This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
It's great to be back here with you and to be closing out our series on the Psalms of Ascent. And I'm excited about this particular psalm in particular because it really impacts my ministry of focus of community life. That I'm excited for us to hear what God has for us and the potential that God has for us here. You know, within LifePoint Church. I want to get right into it and say that as your community life pastor, I think this is an important psalm for us. In this season that God has us, this is an important psalm. As for God's people to enjoy and envision living life in community together and forevermore. In fact, this psalm, if applied, I believe we can begin revival here tonight. Let me say that again. This psalm that we're going to look at today, if applied, I believe can start revival here for LifePoint Church tonight. You may be asking yourselves, well, that sounds interesting and pretty bold. What exactly is revival? Does that mean that we start meeting in a big tent? Well, it means so much more than that. I looked quickly at Isaiah chapter 6, and through the first 8 verses, I noticed that there's 6 identifications of what revival can look like. And see if this fits for where you are at, what you would maybe thirst for or want from the Lord. 1, our need for a fresh touch from God happens during revival. We get to see God as He really is during revival. Our sinfulness and need for cleansing is made apparent in revival. God's gracious provision is clearly seen in revival. The mission is focused in revival. Our mission here at LifePoint Church is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. That would become clearly in focus. And lastly, we would respond with joyful obedience in the throes of revival. So with that, I want to ask to turn our attention to Psalm 133 in your Bibles. And I want to read this psalm together, and then we're going to chop it up together and look to what God has for us. So, as you turn to your Bibles, would you please stand to your feet as we show reverence to God for His holy word, and I will read it for us. It's just a brief 3 verses. Psalm 133, found in the book of Psalms. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. May God bless the reading of His word. Please be seated. This is Psalm 133. And it's our last psalm in the series of Psalm of Ascents. And this one has to deal quite a bit with unity. As you see, the very first point here is regarding unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And with that, I need to ask the question, you know, what exactly is unity? Because I think if we ask 10 different people, we might get 10 different answers. But the definition the dictionary offers is the state of being one. Or oneness, a whole or totality of combining all its parts into one. Another definition I appreciate is oneness of mind, feeling, etc., as among number of persons in harmony or agreement. And this passage is talking about how great it is when brothers and sisters, have unity. How great that is. And if you have been a sibling as a young child, or maybe you're a parent of young children, you might remember how wonderful it is when there is unity amongst the brothers and sisters. how wonderful and good and pleasant it is for them to dwell in unity. And what is it about siblings that just want to push each other's buttons? You can just see. Myself, I'll give myself as an explanation. I have one sibling, one sister, Carol. She's 4.5 years younger than me. And through my young ages of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, those are the years that I would really love to just push Carol's buttons. And she's just such a sweet, sweet little girl, not asking for anything. But obviously, I think I was just bored, and so I needed some entertainment. I wanted to get a reaction out of her. Now remember, this is before I knew Jesus. So that's my excuse here, okay? And this is before I knew Christ, but I would torment her, and she would get so frustrated with me that I was overpowering her and would not let her go, that eventually she would get away, run down the hall, into her bedroom, slam the door shut, lock it, and start calming down. And I would be pacing away for another day. Well, she would be on that bed of her bedroom, and then she'd calm down. She would actually use God's Word to calm her down. She had a children's Bible in her bedroom. And she would start reading that thing. And reading it and reading it and turning the pages and turning the pages. She read the whole thing over a period of years. And then she trusted Christ as her Lord and Savior. You see, God used me You see it. Isn't God good how He does these things? But then began, and I'm not going to give you my full testimony, that'd take too long, but then began that little girl, Carol, just filling heaven with prayers that one day I would trust Jesus. And God is faithful. 4.5 years later is when I became a born-again believer. And I have her to thank, and many others who prayed for me. So, without getting too far down in that, but it's wonderful, it's pleasant, it's good when brothers and sisters dwell in unity together. Once I did make a profession of faith in Christ, it was oftentimes at the dinner table when we would say our traditional prayer of God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. Usually we would say amen, but then Carol or I would interject and just start praying prayers of thanks and praying for prayers of other people, and it just became this white hot time of prayer, and the fried chicken was getting cold. We got to dwell with one another in unity. It's important for young kids to be able to have that. And parents, when they see that, it is treasured. Now, I put on there that it's also what it looks like for people to have unity both young but also older in Christ. You know, back in biblical times, in ancient times, the world was so much larger. You couldn't get to where we can get today. And so they really stayed near home. And so brothers and sisters, they would grow up and they would actually live in the same house they were raised in, or they would live in an adjacent house on the same property and take over their father's business or responsibilities, and brothers and sisters running a business together. Maybe you've tried doing that before. It's challenging. How wonderful it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. This is happening. This song is being sung by all the Israelites as they're arriving into Jerusalem to celebrate feasts, annual feasts with one another. And they're coming, hundreds of thousands, coming all from across many different lands into Jerusalem to celebrate these songs, and they're singing this song as they ascend into Jerusalem. This is a chance for them, for this writer David, to see how wonderful it is to see all these people dwelling together in unity. How good that is. It's not that they all believe exactly the same or that they do the exact same things. We're a church that's actually quite diverse in interests and personalities and that sort of thing. We're a church that doesn't require everyone here to have a passion for knitting, right? Lord, help us if we did. We also don't have a passion here for everyone here to be a hunter. We all don't have to believe in the same college football team. Maybe we should on that one. Hey. We built a new stadium that's going to help us score more touchdowns. You watch. It's wonderful when brothers dwell in unity together. You know, when we were in Germany, I thought this was interesting. And this happens on several different mission trips, but it just happened a couple weeks ago, so I want to share it with you, is that we went to their worship service, this great worship service of this evangelical church there that Wes mentioned our missionaries who were serving there, that we went over there to encourage this Jim and Lena Miller. In fact, Lena, her maiden name is Probasco, Lena grew up in this church. And we have been supporting her as a missionary. This year is the 30th year that we've been supporting her. She's very happy and thankful for our church support and that we come over. This is our second year we came over to support them in their ministry. But we go to their church, a German church, and they're speaking German the whole time. They're walking around in Germany. They're breathing German air. They're talking German language. Everything's foreign. And we are there as visitors and as guests. And we got an opportunity to worship with them for almost 2 hours. Why was that such a joyful experience for me? I couldn't understand anything they were saying. You know, I had no idea. But it was enjoyable to me. And why it was enjoyable was because we are enjoying one another as we are enjoying God together. We have that common ground, that common footing that we shared together. Just as in ancient times, as they arrived into Jerusalem, they had this commonality. And for us, our common need in this room is Jesus, our need for Jesus. How wonderful it is that we have this need for Jesus together, that we arrive here together, we sing songs together, we pray to the same God, we find encouragement together here in this room and in the classrooms and in the homes. We are the church, not this building, but we are the church. And this is where we find encouragement together, is our need for Jesus. This is our effort. I think this is our effort that we put forth, is that we find unity together. And then God starts doing great things with this. Second verse, it is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. This oil represented God's presence and the overflow of God's presence as it cascaded down Aaron's beard and onto his, and from his head down to his beard, onto his shoulders of his garment, of his robes. This was to demonstrate that God's presence was with Aaron. He was consecrated. He was consecrated by God as set apart. And this oil is important for us to realize. It was to realize this was such a valuable asset in ancient times. Oil throughout Scripture represented God's presence, a symbol of the Spirit of God. You know, oil is essential. That's how we've come up with essential oils. It's essential. They didn't have lotion back then, and they lived in an arid culture where, you know, it was used for not just cooking, baking. It was not just used for that, but it was also used for this anointing. It was used to set the priests apart, these priests who loved their congregations. And the priests were set apart as holy. They were holy, and you were to go to them with your sacrifices. So this oil set them apart, and it is essential. The oil made the priests holy, and Aaron and his priests following him were consecrated by God as holy. Today, well, in years that came from there, today we celebrate Jesus as making us holy by his blood. Jesus' blood is what makes us holy. Our faith and belief in Jesus and what he did on the cross makes us holy. Let's look at that together in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. You can read the screen with me. Verse 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is this habit of some, but encouraging one another all the day, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that day being, that day that's capitalized, is Jesus' return, his faithful return, which we are awaiting. It's important for us to realize that we are made holy by Jesus' blood and no longer by oil on a priest. That is the way God has provided for us. That is him recognizing his presence in this psalm was how they reflected upon the warmth of that oil cascading down Aaron and the priest's hair, beard, and shoulders. It is overflowing God's presence. And that's what the writer feels is happening here in this moment. How wonderful it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like this oil cascading down, demonstrating God's presence. Thirdly, I want to look at verse 3. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Again, we're seeing this descending, coming from God. A descent of dew that happens on Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon was a mountain that is easily seen in this region. It's the tallest in all of this land. And it's over 9,000 feet. 9,232 feet. And there, if you've ever been at high alpine areas, if you've slept overnight, you see what happens in the morning, that everything is wet. Dew just happens. And this dew is beautiful. This alpine dew communicates a sense of morning freshness, a feeling of fertility, and clean anticipation of growth. This dew is being provided by God, and it lands all the way into the mountains of Zion in Jerusalem. This is a place where God again provides, demonstrates his provision for Israel. And it's a song that he is singing of great celebration and gladness in his heart for what God is doing, as he's recognizing that God's presence is about them and that God's provision is about them. God provides a permanent solution in Jesus for us and our thirst. In John chapter 4, we remember about how Jesus was sitting with the woman at the well, and Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Have you ever felt that feeling? Have you ever known that truth within your life, within your mind, within your heart, of Jesus bubbling life up within you as you treasure God's promises found in this word? Treasure his promises that you hold fast to in your life, in your heart. Maybe some of you have drifted from those truths, from God's word. And it's been a while since you have felt the power. Maybe it's been a while since you have felt Jesus being near to you. Maybe it's been a while since you have actually given yourself time to be in God's word, to set yourself apart, and to have a long chew. For some of you, I know, you've gone through life's difficulties and you've not felt God very close at all. And when you have dutifully gone into his word to have a long chew, it's tasted like cardboard. I want you to know there's hope for you. God is not finished with you. God is such a tremendous God that we often lose sight of how tremendous he is, how big he is, how grand he is. We see with small eyes. But I believe if we come together as a church And we come together and we lean in to one another in this deep, deep grace that God has for us. He will be faithful. He will be faithful to provide for us, to demonstrate His presence with us. God is faithful to do that. Our last section of this verse talks about, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And I believe this is a hint of heaven. A hint of heaven. Just a hint. You know, this is referring back to Deuteronomy. And I'm going to read a covenantal blessing, a portion of that covenantal blessing for us. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. He goes on to say, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice. We have to know it to obey it. Obeying His voice and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This, I believe, he is referring to in this passage here, the great covenantal blessing. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Throughout this whole psalm, I see this writer, David, King David, as so much enjoyment, so much hope, so much fascination about what is happening as people groups are arriving to worship God together and to celebrate their feasts. And David is taking it all in. They're enjoying life together that will be completed in our life everlasting. I want to do something a bit risky that it may not work for some people, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Some of you already have your eyes closed, but join those. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to keep mine open so I can read to you. But I want you, as you get just a hint of heaven, I believe this is what the psalmist is driving at. Think of your greatest friends assembled at once. The companions that bring you the deepest joy. Your most stimulating relationships. The most delightful shared experiences. The people whom you feel completely alive. That is the hint of heaven. You can open your eyes. I think this is what David is feeling at this point as he's penning this psalm, as they're going to sing year after year this psalm, Psalm 133. They're going to realize again and again and again and again how important it is that man and woman draw together in unity. That's their responsibility, and then God does the rest. He provides. His presence is made clear. And for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You know, here at LifePoint, we really like to focus our efforts in community life towards life groups. You know, we talked about that covenantal blessing, how choose life, you know, and that is years, generations been triumphed, and we are trying to do that more and more within our life groups here, where we would come together is important, and grow in God's Word. In just 2 weeks, we're going to be giving you the lineup of our fall life groups that are open for you to participate with and to maybe have these companions that bring you the deepest joy. Start building upon those and start hanging with people who can stimulate your greatest thoughts. That's our aim. That's our hope, that people would come alive to God as we come alive to one another. That's our aim of having life groups coming to be just pronounced throughout this congregation and through this community. It's my hope that you will respond here tonight by coming to Wes's invitation. Yes, to come to the Germany report, which is going to be very encouraging to the group that went, that you would come and show your interest and maybe even be prompted by the Spirit for you to follow like suit in future endeavors. But then secondly, to come to our 6:30 prayer time for just 1 hour. And Zach does a great job of keeping us focused. And if you need to get out by 7:30, even if you need to leave early, you're welcome to do so. But we always finish on time. Zach does a great job of that. I think it's important that we realize from this psalm, something that I take away from is that unity ushers revival. And if we could focus upon this God who is so grand, so magnificent, the God of Germans who are 5,400 miles away, that eat different food and speak a different language, but yet we have this common need, this common joy, where we don't even understand each other's language so much. We have this commonality across this world. And it's beautiful when you see it in worship. It's always apparent. When you see different cultures worshiping together, they come alive. You see that there's something different by how different cultures worship. You know something has changed them at the deepest of the core. So unity ushers revival. And here at LifePoint, we have the opportunity to dwell in unity together. We are at a point in time in our church, in this season. We've been going for a year now with our plurality of leaders model of elders leading this church, and three pastors who are now new elders leading this church. And we are asking you to come alongside of us in prayer, to really seek to lean in to hear God's voice together, to hear it together, to know it together, but also to care for one another in these prayer times. This would be our 10th time we've prayed together monthly tonight at 6:30. This would be our 10th time doing it. We'll have two more after this in September and October. And then we'll come together for an annual meeting. We have the opportunity to usher in the gates of heaven as we dwell in unity together. Not that we would all dress the same way again. Not that we would all have the same habits. But that we would have these common held beliefs that God is a triune God. That Jesus came to die on that cross so that we may have life and have it everlasting. And that all men have sinned and fallen so very far short of the glory of God that we are all in need of repentance. We are all in need of forgiveness. These are some of the elemental, basic, fundamental truths that we hold to, that we can cling to, that motivate us forward. So tonight, I pray that you would be willing to come alongside us and enjoy God as we enjoy one another together. It's a great opportunity for us to have unity that would usher in revival. So seeking God's voice together, all of us together, can only help guide us into unity, His presence, His provision, and the blessing of life forevermore. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me now? Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Jesus, we give you all praise and glory, that through your sacrifice on that cross, our belief in you gives us life forevermore. So I pray for someone who is in this room who is questioning their salvation. I pray that they would take action and come talk with me or one of our elders. Maybe even note on their communication card. Lord, arrest them in their steps until they have made peace with you. Your love is triumphant. It wins. It wins every day. It wins every moment of every day. So thank you for this treasured promises that we have of your presence, your provision, and that we can have life and have life forevermore through Jesus. So Lord, we owe it all to you. All to you we owe it. We thank you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Life Point Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.